Hello, it's One Take Schreier, and the outrage merchants are at it. Again, today's claim is that the allegations of sexual harassment at Blizzard are false and that somehow I made them all up. If you're lucky enough to not be familiar with this world, there are a number of culture warriors out there who tweet all day about various aggrievements, whether or not they are true, in an attempt to elicit intense emotional reactions from their viewers. These people aren't reporters. They don't actually talk to anyone involved or ask questions. They just kind of tweet and post videos, but they do have reach and sometimes bring in large audiences. This is part of a whole ecosystem that just rewards and leads to people getting paid for spreading misinformation on the internet. And normally I just kind of ignore this part of the internet, like in the same way that you would ignore someone in Times Square screaming that the world is coming to an end because of gays in the military. But actually today I did want to address it because I think this is a good opportunity to talk about a very serious, very important issue and try to explain it in a way that captures the nuances and complexities of it all. And unlike those squealing cretins, I actually spend most of my time as a reporter I spend all day on the phone with people who are involved in these stories, asking them questions, trying to corroborate their accounts with other people so I can piece together what actually happened. And so today's video that I'm going to talk about is based on two main sources. One is an article that I published in Bloomberg in August 2021 that I'll link in the show notes. And the other is my book, Play Nice, about the history of Blizzard, published in October of 2024. Fun fact, the same outrage merchants who are now claiming that I destroyed Blizzard by making up sexual harassment claims have actually spent the last 5 years or so claiming that I kept quiet about sexual harassment claims, just to kind of give you a look at the type of intellect that we're dealing with here. But let's zoom out, because I do think this is really worth talking about. So in July of 2021, the California government sued Activision Blizzard for sexual harassment and misconduct. It was a big, explosive lawsuit. Most of the claims really focused on Blizzard, the maker of Warcraft and Overwatch and Diablo and Starcraft. This lawsuit included a lot of salacious details, some of which I subsequently reported were false, but we'll get to that. And it led to these massive effects for Blizzard and Activision as a whole. It led to protests and walkouts, eventually the sale of Activision Blizzard to Microsoft. One thing, by the way, I won't be talking about is the allegation in the lawsuit that a woman committed suicide as a result of harassment against her, because that is very complicated, very tricky. It involves Activision, not Blizzard. It was a woman within Activision, not within Blizzard Entertainment. And there's been a lot of kind of details surrounding that story that are very hazy and hard to prove. It's very difficult to prove why someone killed themselves or to be able to say that definitively. Her parents, the parents of the woman who killed herself, actually filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Activision Blizzard and then took it back, withdrew it. It's really messy. It's not something I'm going to get into because I don't have all of the facts surrounding it, because in that case, I wasn't able to talk to the victim involved because unfortunately she has passed away. She has died by suicide. I'm going to focus on the stuff that I can prove and corroborate and the people that I've actually talked to. So, okay, 2 years after this lawsuit started, by the Activision Blizzard had become part of Microsoft, in December of 2023, California and Activision settled for $54 million. This was after the Microsoft deal had closed, so no longer run by the same people, different kind of entity, and that settlement was likely a whole part of that. Many of the women who worked for Activision Blizzard at various and during time periods that were kind of included in the lawsuit got checks as a result of that, sometimes significant checks in the five figures. And the language of the settlement, including the following, I'm going to read this entire thing. Quote, no court or any independent investigation has substantiated any allegations that there has been systemic or widespread sexual harassment at Activision Blizzard, that Activision Blizzard senior executives ignored, condoned, or tolerated a culture of systemic harassment, retaliation, or discrimination, or that Activision Blizzard's board of directors, including its chief executive officer, Robert Kotick, acted improperly with regard to the handling of any instances of workplace misconduct. So that language is at the core of this week's outrage merchant argument that the whole thing was bullshit. This happened 3 years ago, but I guess the culture warriors only discovered it now, which again shows you the kind of intellect we're dealing with here. But look, I'm not going to talk about them anymore. I'm going to talk about the truth of what actually happened at Blizzard, because despite the language in this settlement, there were a lot of women who spoke out about their experiences, and I can share some of their stories. So first of all, by the way, there were actually two lawsuits, a state lawsuit and a federal lawsuit, and this settlement was only for one of them, the state one. The federal lawsuit was settled for $18 million and did not have the same language, did not say anything like that, like the California did. There's actually one of the reasons this is also messy is that the state investigators and federal investigators got into political squabbles. And there's a whole lot of details involving Gavin Newsom and accusations about him interfering in this that I'm not going to get into here. But if you're interested in the legal drama, there's a little bit more there that you can find online here and there. And parts of that have still not been quite told. That's story still isn't 100% clear of how all that went down, but I think that might help explain why there's still a couple of questions surrounding the lawsuits of it all. But let's put that aside. Let's look at all the actual facts. And I think one thing that's really important here, if you've watched my other videos, you know this, but oftentimes when you try to reduce a story to a binary of like, is it true? Is it not true? Especially a story that's as complicated as allegations of widespread harassment and culture of misconduct and sexual discrimination, that really does a disservice to a reality. Reality is more nuanced and more complicated than that, because actually two things in this case are simultaneously true. One is that the California lawsuit was misleading and full of inaccuracies. You can write anything in a lawsuit here in the United States, and that one had a lot of things wrong. The other thing that's true is that many of the women who have worked for Blizzard over the last few decades have felt mistreated by the company. And I think that it's important to note that harassment is one thing. I think any company that reaches a certain size that gets into the thousands or tens of thousands is going to have incidents of harassment. It's really how the company chooses to deal with that harassment and the harassers themselves that creates a culture. So back in 2021, California lawsuit dropped. I did what any reporter would do. I started making phone calls. Before this, I'd heard a few details, a few anecdotes here and there, but not enough to actually be able to publish a substantial story, which one day down the road, I'll do a video about how I make stories and what you kind of need, the threshold of proof that you need to actually be able to do a story. But it wasn't enough at that point. So now the floodgates were open. People were open to sharing their experiences. People were going on social media talking about their experiences. At the time for this Bloomberg story that I published, I spoke to about 50 current and former employees. And the reality, of course, was nuanced. I mean, for starters, Blizzard was a massive organization with thousands of employees and dozens of divisions. And your experiences there would be drastically different depending on where you worked and who you worked with. The Overwatch team had a different culture than the Diablo team. And nothing was quite like the Battle.net team. I'll get to that. And of course, Blizzard in the 1990s was very different than Blizzard in modern times. If you want to read about the old days, a lot of that is in Play Nice. For now, let's focus on the modern times. Some women said, hey, I had very positive experiences at Blizzard. Others said they were harassed frequently and felt discriminated against. Many women told me that working at Blizzard was kind of a paradox for them. This was a very common theme. This is a place where they had some of the best times of their lives, met some of their closest friends, people who they got married to or were in their wedding parties, who they're lifelong friends. Yet it was also a place that felt like it didn't treat men and women equally. And working at Blizzard meant kind of trying to wrap your head around that paradox where it's kind of some of the best times of your life and some of the worst times of your life. Often for stories like this, the people involved want to stay anonymous, and many of them did, but actually some were willing to speak on the record about their experiences and are quoted by name in my reporting. So I can give you specific names and accounts from these women. There was Cher Scarlett, who told me for a Bloomberg story that she was groped at holiday parties. There's Nikki Broderick, who told me that a bunch of things, but one anecdote that she told me is that a person she worked with looked at her and said, quote, her ass looks great in those shorts. And as a result of that, she never wore shorts into the office again. She told me about various times where she complained about things to HR and nothing was ever done about it. I spoke to Connie Griffith, who told me that in executive meetings, when she was an executive assistant at the time, she would hear some of the top men at the company complaining about hiring women, saying, if we hire these women, we got to be more careful around them. Broderick and many of the other women who worked for Blizzard told me they compared their salaries to male colleagues and found that they were paid less even when they had the same or even more experiences. In fact, Broderick's husband actually wound up like leapfrogging her at the company. They both worked for Blizzard and wound up making more over his time there, despite the fact that she had more experience at Blizzard than he did. Six different women for the Bloomberg story, and even more later on, told me about incidents where they were harassed by men. They went to HR, reported those incidents, and HR did nothing. Even there, there's a little bit of nuance because sometimes HR might actually take disciplinary actions against men but not tell the people who reported it. That itself is kind of a problem, but there are ethical and legal complications there. Regardless, those women came away feeling like nothing had been done. They still had to see some of those same men every day. Sometimes it was their bosses. Sometimes it was people who were above them. It contributed to this feeling overall among women, and this is a common theme that I've heard, that their issues were not being addressed. And then there was Battle.net. Battle.net, if you're not familiar, Battle.net is the service that Blizzard uses to sell and distribute their games online. And there was a big Battle.net department that incorporated. It was kind of like the tech department, IT department. It had all these re-exchange names all the time. But under a guy named Ben Kilgore, who was the chief technology officer, it felt like a frat house. People would take shots during meetings and vomit in trash cans. I swear to God, I heard all sorts of crazy stories about these hazing rituals that people had to go through. Alcohol was such a big problem at Blizzard and overall, but especially in the Battle.net department, that the company actually temporarily banned drinking at holiday parties at one point, and then later said it was instituting a 2-drink minimum at these parties because people would just kept getting drunk and causing problems and driving drunk, and alcohol was just everywhere. It was a real problem. Ben Kilgore, who ran the tech department, in fact, he was the chief technology officer. In fact, he was being lined up as the successor to Mike Morhaime, the CEO of the company. He was going to be the next CEO of the company, was then fired in 2018 after an investigation into his behavior and allegations surrounding him sleeping with subordinates. He was actually fired for lying to the investigators, according to people who know what happened or are familiar with the investigation. The lawsuit, I think it actually missed a lot of important parts of Blizzard's culture that I've explored in my reporting, like the lack of boundaries between professional and personal lives at Blizzard. One, call it a quirk of Blizzard, was that many of the executives there were either dating or married to lower level employees, which led to a lot of uncomfortable situations, from the CEO and multiple people in the C-suite on down. I mean, for example, imagine if you have an issue with someone and turns out they're married to the person who runs Blizzard. What do you do about that? Or like one of the top executives at Blizzard, what do you do about that? Another quirk, and I mentioned this in the book, is that several Blizzard employees were open swingers and would have sex parties that they would invite colleagues to. This stuff, I mean, a lot of these people, it was consensual. It was not something that was I didn't hear any stories about people feeling like they were forced to do any of this against their will. But still, it contributed to this environment where, again, it just felt like there was no boundary between personal and professional lives. By the way, Blizzard is based in Irvine, California, and a lot of people moved to Irvine for this job to work at Blizzard. And so their professional and personal lives wound up intertwined because all of their friends and the people they made and the people they met and hung out with worked for Blizzard. So just kind of quirks of the culture that I think contributed to a lot of the problems that women felt like they had to deal with. And then there's the Cosby suite, which has become a lasting sign of Blizzard's debauchery. This idea of this hotel suite that was dedicated to alleged rapist Bill Cosby. It all started in the California lawsuit, which said, I'm going to quote, Afrasiabi was so known to engage in harassment of females that his suite was nicknamed the Crosby Suite after alleged rapist Bill Crosby. Quick side note, the fact that they call it Bill Crosby, I think, just kind of shows you how sloppy the lawsuit was in general. But still, let's get into this. by Afrasiabi. They are referring to a guy named Alex Afrasiabi, who was a company veteran. He was the top director on World of Warcraft for a while, and he was also infamous at Blizzard as someone who was accused of wrongdoing by multiple women, but still managed to stick around. For Play Nice, about a dozen people, nearly a dozen people who were interviewed for the book, told me that they had either experienced, seen, or heard about sexual harassment conducted by Afrasiabi. But let's talk about the Cosby suite, or the Crosby suite. I'm going to tell you a story from Michelle Morrow, who is an actress and writer who worked with Blizzard, who was connected with Blizzard, would often do hosting stuff for BlizzCon and interviews on camera, that sort of thing. And this story is published in Play Nice. It's something that I reported out over the few years leading up to the book's publication. So it's BlizzCon in the fall of 2013, and Michelle Morrow is out to dinner with Dave Kosak, who's a designer on World of Warcraft, and his wife, Crystal Kosak. Alex Afrasiabi drunkenly stumbles over, and according to Michelle Morrow, he starts hitting on her. Now, just to give you a little insight into the reporting process, when I hear a story like this, I will always try to talk to everyone who was there. So Afrasiabi declined to comment, but Dave Kosak confirmed all of the details that Morrow shared and said, backed all this up, corroborated this stuff. So Morrow tells me, I'm going to quote from Michelle Morrow, "He told me if I married him," referring to Afrasiabi, "he told me if I married him, I'd have the keys to Blizzard, whatever the fuck that means." So this is going on for a little bit. Eventually, Dave Kosak takes Afrasiabi, guides him away from the table. Kind of a tough thing to do because Afrasiabi is Kosak's boss at the time. The next night, still BlizzCon, they are all going to a party at Afrasiabi's hotel room, which everybody called the Cosby Suite. This was 2013. This was happening, according to quite a few people I've talked to who were involved with this, because of an inside joke that had started a few years back when the carpet in one of their previous hotel rooms at another hotel looked like Bill Cosby's sweater. And so they made it into a joke. They would bring pictures of Bill Cosby, and they turned it into a whole thing about the Cosby suite. There must always be a Cosby suite, they would say. And on this group chat, Kosak writes that he's, quote, "gathering the hot chicks for the cause." This is a group chat with him, Afrasiabi, and a few other Warcraft designers. Now, when Kosak says he's gathering the hot chicks, he's referring to Michelle Morrow and his wife in kind of a joking way, and Morrow confirmed this as well. So Morrow tells me, we'll get to the group chat in a sec, but so remember, we're at BlizzCon, they're all going up to the hotel room, they're all going up to the Cosby suite, right? Morrow tells me they get to the Cosby suite that night. She again has to fend off unwanted advances from Afrasiabi, but the night is otherwise uneventful. It's just kind of another BlizzCon party. So a year later, October 2014, a stand-up comedian named Hannibal Buress does a routine where he makes some jokes about Bill Cosby that resurface old rape accusations and wind up setting off this firestorm of new allegations and criminal proceedings. Dave Kosak tells me that at the time he joked to his wife, "I guess we won't be calling it the Cosby Suite anymore." But then in 2021, the lawsuit hits and the gaming website Kotaku shares a photo of a bunch of Blizzard employees, including Dave Kosak, gathered in front of this frame picture of Bill Cosby in the suite. This picture, at the time in 2013, before these allegations were widely resurfaced and before a lot of people knew about them, seemed harmless. It seemed harmless in 2013. But now in 2021, after all of the trials and allegations and accusations, totally horrifying. By the way, in case you're wondering, I worked at Kotaku, but I left in 2020. This all happened a year later. This article was published a year after I had left Kotaku. The article also publishes a screenshot of the group text. And the way they're able to get a screenshot of the group text and also this photo is that this was all published on Facebook. I believe it was on Alex Afrasiabi's Facebook at the time. So this was not something that was like some big hidden secret or leaked or anything. This was something they had published on Facebook because, again, at the time, it was not something that you would see a bunch of picture, like you would not see a group of people in front of a frame photo of Bill Cosby and think anything was awry, because it wasn't until a year after all this happened that the idea of Bill Cosby being an alleged sex offender became ingrained in everybody's heads. So the article publishes the screenshot of the group text. The article doesn't really mention that the Bill Cosby allegations only resurfaced a year before the photos were taken. And it also doesn't mention that the group text referred to Dave Kosak's wife and Michelle Morrow. And so I spoke to Michelle Morrow about this. Michelle Morrow was really pissed that Kotaku had published this. She felt like it was totally taken out of context, even though it was referring to her. And she felt like it was not right. Here's a quote from her in the book. Quote, "It was just surreal. Everyone was being unknowingly offended for me as the subject of this text when Dave, Kosak, is the one who protected me and did exactly what any man should do when their boss is being a creep." After the Kotaku article hit, Dave Kosak, who had left Blizzard and was now working at as a creative director at Deviation Games, was fired. I also spoke to a guy, a designer named Paul Cazares, who was also in the photo. He was working at ZeniMax Online Studios, and he was fired from his job there shortly after the Kotaku article went live. He told me, actually, that he felt like this photo has disrupted his career, despite the fact that he has not been accused of any wrongdoing. All he did was appear in a photo with a framed picture of Bill Cosby a year before allegations of Bill Cosby's rape were widely resurfaced and set off a firestorm in the press and in United States culture. And let me quote Michelle Morrow again. She said, I can't speak for everyone else's experiences, but when I was in that room, there was nothing nefarious except for Alex. Other women and men that I've talked to who were at this Cosby Suite party in 2013 said the exact same thing. Alex Afrasiabi being a drunk kind of creep in their view, nothing else going awry. That's not to say there weren't other issues at BlizzCon, because BlizzCon, I think, was known as a place where a lot of Blizzard employees would get drunk and sometimes there would be wrongdoing and bad behavior. But in this particular case, it was just him, according to Michelle Morrow and other people. So here's the thing about this story. It also, despite the fact that it became this wrong, incorrect symbol of Blizzard's debauchery that everybody got wrong, Kotaku and then all the other websites that kind of followed it, worth noting, we at Bloomberg at the time pointed out that it was referring to the sweater and that it was not kind of a suite dedicated to a rapist. But besides the fact, the story actually did capture a real problem at Blizzard, which is that everybody seemed to know about the behavior displayed by Alex Afrasiabi, but nobody did anything about it. And it wasn't until the spring of 2020, 7 years after that, that Afrasiabi was fired from Blizzard for what a spokesperson later called, quote, misconduct in his treatment of other employees. So he was eventually fired, took a very long time. So what do we make of all this? I want to reiterate, many things are true at once, and I think one of the biggest problems behind this kind of world of Twitter misinformation is how everything just gets reduced to these sound bites and people just don't seem to have room in their heads for nuance. Many things are true at once. One is that the California lawsuit was misleading and full of inaccuracies. Another is that that lawsuit was settled for $55 million, and the language of the settlement said that no court or independent investigation had substantiated the allegations. But a third thing that's true is that many, many women have spoken out about having negative experiences at Blizzard with harassment and discrimination and misconduct. And they've spoken to me. They've spoken to other reporters. There were other stories that hit after that lawsuit. They've spoken up on social media. They've talked to friends. They've posted in group chats. They've written on game development forums. They have talked about this extensively. The thing that people don't seem to understand a lot of the times, especially in the gaming world, is that life is not Phoenix Wright. There's no binaries. There are no contradiction. That can't be right. Stories about sexual harassment, especially a lot of stories, but especially stories about sexual harassment, are always going to be messy, complicated, and nuanced. And I think in this case, it's clear, and I've talked to enough people to substantiate this, that there were very real problems at Blizzard. Even Mike Morhaime, the founder of the company, co-founder of the company, and CEO for many years, apologized for what had happened at Blizzard. After the lawsuit hit, he spent days on video calls talking to his former employees. There were a lot of people who accused him of knowing about some of the problematic people at the company, many of whom I haven't mentioned here, but Alex Afrasiabi is just one of many people across Blizzard who have been accused of wrongdoing, some of whom were fired after the lawsuit hit. And after this all went down, he actually wrote a long statement and he said, "Look, to the Blizzard women who experienced any of these things, I am extremely sorry that I failed you." All right. I'll see you all next time.